A different category of filtering is provided by what are called the order statistics of the pixels within the neighborhood that you choose according to one of those patterns I showed earlier, 3x3, 5x5, or various patterns. Order statistic filters are based upon rank ordering the data that you are using to derive the output. Rank ordering means you arrange the values from minimum to maximum or maximum to minimum, typically from the minimum to the maximum. So if you are using, let's say, a 5x5 filter, 5x5 mask, I should say, you have 25 values from the image around the current pixel, including the current pixel. So you take those values and arrange them in increasing order. And then, from that rank ordered list, you choose a certain value that is the output for that location of the filter or the mask that you apply to the image. The ith entry in this rank ordered list is called the ith order statistic. If you take the first one, that is the minimum of that list, and that is called the min filter or minimum filter. And this is useful in removing outliers that are high valued. When there is salt and pepper noise, and you have the salt type of noise that is on the higher end of the range of values allowed for pixels, and if it is an isolated bright spot within the neighborhood that you're considering, then such a noise sample is removed, and you take a value that is the smallest in the range, and you expect or hope that that is within the object that you want to preserve in the output. Note that you are not mixing multiple values like the mean filter. The median filter is also a rank order filter or order statistic filter, as you will see later on. The opposite of the min is the max. If you have k values in this list, the kth value or the last value is the maximum in that list, and that is the last entry in the ordered list, rank ordered list, and that is useful in removing low valued outliers such as isolated dark spots or the pepper type of noise in salt and pepper. So the min filter removes the salt noise and max removes the pepper noise. So if you do one after the other, you will remove both salt and pepper noise. So the min-max filter is a sequential application of the min and max and is useful in removing outliers both at both ends, like salt and pepper noise. The median filter is the entry in the middle of the list. So we already saw that as a separate case, but it is a special case within the order statistic filters. So this is in the middle of the list. And then we have some other filters that are combinations of some of the ideas we have discussed so far. And one of them is known as the alpha-trimmed mean filter. The problem with the mean filter is when you take a neighborhood around a certain pixel and average all the values within that neighborhood, the result is good if you are completely within an object or completely within a background. Problem arises when you are mixing pixels, when the window is sitting across the boundary of an object, if you have some pixels from within an object and some pixels from outside and you take the mean, that's the problem, which leads to blurring of edges. So the alpha trim mean filter says you don't take the mean of the entire group of pixels in the neighborhood you have chosen, but you take the mean of a reduced list or a trimmed list where the first alpha and the last alpha of the list is rejected, where alpha is a number between 0 and half. So let's say you want to remove 10% on either end, so alpha is 0.1. So remove the first 10% in the list and the last 10% in the list. That is the very small values and the very big values, and in between you expect or hope that all of the values will belong to the same category, either an object or its background, or one object and not others in the immediate vicinity. So outliers are rejected by the trimming process. And you have to choose an appropriate alpha, 10%, 20%, or whatever. And then that will form the basis of trimming of the list. It is expected that you would use a large window size, such as 5x5, so you get 25 pixels. So if you remove 10%, let's say 20% on both ends, 20% of 25 pixels is 5 pixels each. So remove the first 5, the last 5, you are left with 15 pixels. You take the average of those 15, and 15 is still a good number, which is more than what you would get in a 3x3 window. So you get some averaging. So by rejecting outliers, you hope that you're not mixing an object with the background in averaging. If you were to use alpha equal to 0.5, it rejects the entire list except the median or a few values close to it, alpha nearly equal to 0.5, I should say. If alpha is equal to 0.5, then of course you are removing everything. You need to keep at least one value, and in the limit, that one value in the middle is the median. So when alpha is very close to 0.5, and with the effects of a finite number of samples and an integer number of samples and some rounding or truncating, you could expect that with alpha nearly equal to 0.5, you would get just the median or an average of a few values around the median. So the output is close to or equal to that of the median filter. If you don't reject any, if you don't trim the list, that is, if alpha is equal to 0, then it is a mean filter. If alpha is nearly equal to 0.5, it is a median filter. In between, it is some mean of some combination of pixel values surrounding the median. So the mean of the trimmed list provides a compromise between the median and the mean filters. It's a combination in between. There is another kind of filters known as the L filter, which is a weighted combination of all of the elements in the rank ordered list. Here, the weights are specified in the sequence of the rank ordered list, from the minimum to the maximum. So it is not convolution, because in convolution, you simply apply the same weights depending upon the position of the pixels. Here, the weights are applied to the rank ordered list. L filters, you select or you define a set of weights that you apply to the rank ordered list. And if you put all weights equal to 1, you get the mean filter. If you put a weight of 1 in the middle of the list and 0 for everything else, you get the median. If you put a bunch of weights around the middle, then an average of values close to the median, and so on. So you can simulate the effect of the other filters by using what are called L filters. So this is a generalization of the other filters. So what we have seen so far are image domain filters. These are applied to pixels directly in the image via convolution or some kind of mask processing, where you select pixels in a window or a mask that is applied to the image, and you combine those values in some manner, linear or nonlinear, a weighted combination or a selection process, and that is applied to the output. Now, these are local operations in the sense they're applied to small windows within the image, and they're applied to the image data directly in the spatial domain. Using the Fourier transform, it is possible to move from the image domain to the frequency domain or the Fourier space. And there, by having an understanding of the nature of the frequency components of an image, and the interpretation of the frequency components in terms of their relationship to features in the image or noise, you may selectively enhance or extract certain components and suppress or remove or reduce certain other components and achieve filtering. Such kind of filtering is known as frequency domain filtering or Fourier domain filtering, and depending upon what kind of weighting or selection you perform, you may extract certain components or enhance certain components and reject or suppress other components. One of the underlying assumptions in the frequency domain filtering of images is that most images of natural entities or scenes vary slowly and smoothly across space, that you don't get abrupt changes in the energy and that or pixel values, and that corners are smooth or edges are smooth, and you don't have step-like changes in images of natural objects and scenes. Such images have most of their energy concentrated in small regions around the zero-zero frequency point at the center of the frequency domain spectrum. When you have uncorrelated noise samples or random noise fields, they have uniform or flat or white spectra. Because they are uncorrelated, the autocorrelation function will be a delta function, and its Fourier transform, which is the power spectral density, will be flat, that is equal valued for all frequency. So we get almost constant energy level across the entire frequency space if you have uncorrelated random samples or noise in the image. The signal-to-noise ratio of a noisy natural image, that is a natural image that is strong in low frequency and combination with noise that has the same strength across all frequency, then the SNR or signal-to-noise ratio of such an image is higher in low frequency regions than in high frequency regions. Now, the definitions of signal-to-noise ratio I gave earlier do not consider this possibility. They just define in the image domain based upon the variance or the dynamic range. But if you were to take the spectra of the signal and noise and consider relative energy in bands of frequency, then you see that in such a case where you have a natural image with noise, then you could have varying levels of this ratio of signal to noise. Now, such images may be improved by suppressing high frequency components that are related to noise beyond a certain cutoff frequency. If the original image has a spectrum that decays, and beyond a certain point the values are very small, and you know that the noise is constant across the spectrum, then at a certain point where you can say the components of the signal are negligible, you can cut off and say beyond that everything else is noise and remove those components. But a limitation is that removing high frequency components that you assume is predominantly noise would also remove some desired image components, such as high frequency components related to edges and sharp features. They could be very small, but they are related to important information such as edges. And then noise components in the low frequency band that have been added to the signal will not be removed by this filter, because you are passing all the information in the low frequency band where you have the signal plus the noise. The noise is much smaller but will remain in the image. The noise in the low frequency band will continue to remain in the image and will constitute a certain fraction of the output. So the procedure for Fourier domain filtering for image, FMN, is first you compute the two-dimensional Fourier transform FKL of the image. If you're using a 1D FFT algorithm, you apply it along the rows and then the columns. Design an appropriate filter HKL in the 2D frequency space. You obtain the filtered image in the Fourier domain as GKL equal to HKL multiplied with FKL on a point-by-point basis. Now you have to make sure that FKL is centered or folded or defined in a manner that is compatible with the way you get FKL. The 0-0 frequency component is there at the top left corner or in the middle of the array. So both of these must have the frequency components arranged in the same manner. Typically, HKL is real, affecting only the magnitude of the input spectrum. You do not attempt to change the phase of the frequency components, because typically you have no information on how to change the phase. And if you change the phase of components inappropriately, you could ruin the entire image. Filtering in the frequency domain is global in nature, because even if you alter one component in the frequency domain for one value of the spectrum, when you take the inverse Fourier transform, the entire image is affected. So in that sense, filtering in the frequency domain is a global operation. It depends upon the entire image, the characteristics of the entire image in computing FKL, and altering one of those will affect the entire output image. With rear-valued image, HKL should remain symmetric, should maintain conjugate symmetry, and it is common to use isotropic filters. Because if you introduce some phase within HKL, then you'll be modifying the phase of the output. After you apply this filter on a point-by-point basis in the frequency domain, you have performed filtering on the spectrum, and then you need to go back by taking the inverse Fourier transform of GKL by applying the inverse Fourier transform, which, as I mentioned earlier, is the same as the forward FFT applied to the conjugate of GKL, and then you take the complex conjugate of that result. If FKL was folded prior to filtering, typically you would specify HKL with zero frequency in the middle, such as a low-pass filter with the maximum in the center of the array. If you do that, then FKL should have been folded before the application of the filter. And then, before the inverse transform, you must unfold it. You must do the opposite of the folding. So if FKL was folded prior to filtering, it must be unfolded prior to inverse transformation. If the input was zero padded, you trim the result to obtain GMN, the output. That is, if the original image was of some odd size, not a power of 2, and you pad it with zeros to compute the Fourier transform using FFT, then in the output array, you cut only that same portion, eliminate the effect of zero padding. So that is the general frequency domain filtering procedure. Now, what you do, what kind of filter you apply and the result you get will depend upon this HKL, the transfer function that you specify. And that needs to be specified for the entire frequency domain. If you want to remove high frequency noise, you would apply a low pass filter, passing the low frequency components where you assume the signal is stronger than the noise. So low pass filters are useful in removing high frequency noise. The lower frequency components of the noise will remain, as I said earlier. The assumption is that noise is additive. The Fourier components of the original image past a certain frequency cutoff are negligible. So you have to specify an appropriate cutoff frequency point. An ideal low-pass filter is specified as HUV equal to 1 if the radial distance DUV from the origin in the frequency domain is less than the cutoff frequency D0 or D0. It's 0 otherwise. So you just cut the frequency domain by taking the central portion around the 0-0 frequency out, which is assuming that the spectrum has been centered to have 0-0 in the middle. DUV is square root of U square plus V square, which is the distance of UV from 0-0. D0 is the cutoff frequency beyond which all components are simply removed. So the ideal filter would look like this in the frequency domain, 0-0 in the middle, U-axis and V-axis vertically. The other one is a Butterworth filter, we'll come to that later. If you take a section of the ideal filter, it is a pulse. And the other Butterworth filter is a smooth filter, we will come to that later. So if you take a section of the ideal filter from zero frequency, it passes all frequencies up to a point, D0, which is 0.2. After that, the gain is zero, all of these frequencies are removed, and the frequency here is shown as normalized frequency, 0 being zeros of frequency, 0.5 being half the sampling frequency. And on this side, on the left side, you have negative frequency. So this is with the 0-0 frequency at the center, as shown here. The main problem with the ideal filter is that you get echoes of edges present, what is called the ringing artifact. And that is because the inverse Fourier transform of the circle or disk type of a filter in the frequency domain, which is the same as the circle function that we saw, the inverse transform of that space domain is a Bessel function. The Fourier transform of a circle function is a Bessel function as we saw earlier. And here we have a circle in the image domain, in the frequency domain. When you take the inverse transform, the Bessel function that has side lobes going positive and negative to infinity. Now, multiplication in the frequency domain of the spectrum of the image with this circle function is equal to convolution in the space domain with the inverse Fourier transform of the circle function, which is the Bessel function. So the image in the space domain gets convolved with the Bessel function. And the Bessel function has a main lobe that is positive. And that will lead to smoothing as desired and removal of noise by averaging pixels in the immediate vicinity of the pixel being processed. But then the Bessel function also has positive and negative side lobes, many of them decaying and going on to infinity. The extent of the Bessel function is theoretically infinite. Convolution with such a function will mix in components from the entire image domain to obtain one output sample. And if there is a sharp edge somewhere, the convolution of that part of the image with the Bessel function will lead to the intensity values from the background and from the object being mixed and being repeated at the side lobes of these of the Bessel function. So the ripples or lobes of the Bessel function lead to echoes of strong edges, and that leads to an artifact known as the ringing artifact. So here is an example. Let me zoom this. So this is the original shapes image that I have shown earlier. And on the right, you have a noisy version. And at the bottom, here on the left-hand side, you have the effect of the ideal low-pass filter, where the noise that you see here has been suppressed. But around each edge in the image, you see ghost-like images that are positive and negative. Negative here, positive next, and positive. And the same for these edges. So this is the rippling effect because of the convolution of this image, including the edges, with the positive and negative side lobes of the Bessel function. So in trying to remove noise, we have created an artifact that has completely ruined this image. And that is a major problem with the ideal function, the ideal low-pass filter function. The word ideal here, let me go back. I'll come to this other image later, which is the result of Butterworth filtering. I'll come to that later. Here. The word ideal is based upon the fact that we have an ideal transition from the pass band to the stop band, which is a slope of infinity, or an infinite slope. In practice, you cannot achieve a filter with such a rapid transition. You cannot have a discontinuity of this nature in practice in a physically realizable filter. In electrical engineering, when you study the design of analog filters, filters such as Butterworth and elliptic filter and other filters were designed with the aim of making the transition from the pass band to the stop band as fast as possible. But the derivative or the slope of this part has to be finite in a physically realizable function or device. In computation, using the FFT and the computed spectrum, it is possible to achieve this ideal slope of a perfect edge by having a gain of 1 for the pass band and a gain of 0 for the stop band with no transition in between in computing via computation of the Fourier transform and the application of this filter. So in computation, you can achieve what we would have said is the ideal filter, But the ideal filter has an effect that is undesirable in the form of this ringing artifact in images. In signals, there will be a corresponding artifact, but you normally, in 1D signal processing, you don't encounter that in physically realizable systems because you cannot have the infinite slope. And in data processing using computers, you may not be able to observe that effect in a signal, in a 1D signal that is fairly complicated in terms of its patterns. Whereas in an image, this is a very obvious situation. So to remove this artifact, okay, here we have a spectrum. This is the spectrum of the original image, and this is the spectrum of the noisy image. You see more components in the high frequency zone, but it's not readily evident from the image. I could say that because we know that's what is expected, but you may not be able to see that in the projected image, but there are some dark areas here and those are filled here with high values. So the frequency spectrum has been centered to have zero, zero frequency in the middle. So you take this spectrum and multiply this with the filter shown here. So you extract only the components in this circular portion and everything else is set to zero to get the output. So to overcome the ringing artifact caused by the ideal filter, we have to go back to designs of the filter that do not have this rapid transition with infinite slope. Instead, you would want a smooth transition where rather than having a step change, you have a smooth change from the gain, maximum gain at 0, 0 and the pass band, and slowly change the gain down to somewhere close to zero in the stop band. Here it has not reduced to zero even at the highest frequency. The gain is still fairly large there because the order of the filter is only 2 and the cutoff frequency is fairly high. There is not enough space here for the function to decay down to zero. But that depends upon the order of the filter. The Butterworth filter is defined such that its response is maximally flat in the pass band in terms of the magnitude of the transfer function. For a given order of the Butterworth filter, for a 1D Butterworth low-pass filter of order n, the first 2n minus 1 derivatives of the squared magnitude response will be zero at zero frequency. So it will continue to be flat for a certain number of frequency values or certain range of frequency values. After that, the frequency response is monotonic. It will reduce monotonically from 1 down to 0 through a transition band. Now the one-dimensional, the design of the Butterworth filter in the one-dimensional case is well known, and you had taken my course last year in signal processing. There I have described the design of the Butterworth filter in 1D and how to map the analog design in the Laplace domain to a digital filter in the Z transform domain. Now using similar methods, you can extend, or that one dimensional design may be extended to two dimensions by this formula where HUV is defined in terms of only the distance from the origin DUV. So it is an isotropic function or a circularly symmetric function where DUV is square root of U square plus V square, distance from the origin, 0, 0 frequency. D0 is the cutoff frequency where with this normalization, the gain of the filter in power will be half, in magnitude will be 1 divided by square root of 2. So you have the distance from the origin divided by the cutoff position to the power of 2 to 2n, where n is the order of the filter, and 1 over 1 plus another scale factor times that. So this design with the power of 2n will make the filter smooth in the frequency domain, and the order n will affect the extent of smoothness and the sharpness of the cutoff in the transition band. So DUV is square root of U square plus V square, D0 or D0 is the half power radial cutoff frequency. The gain is equal to 1 over root 2 for magnitude or 1 over 2 for power. The transition from the pass band to the stop band becomes steeper and faster or faster as n is increased. So what I showed earlier is with n equal to 2, but if you make n equal to 4 or 8 or higher, then this will be faster and it will come down to 0 fairly quickly. So the Butterworth filter in two dimensions looks like that in the frequency domain, where it is a smooth function. So you design this function in the frequency domain and apply it onto the Fourier transform of the image. And this is a real valued function, so only the magnitude is affected. There is no phase change by this filter. Let me go back and show this example. Here is the Butterworth filtered version of this noisy image. You do not see the ringing artifact, and noise is removed to a certain extent. Now, because the gain of the Butterworth filter does not fall to zero here, some of the noise here is passed with a gain that is significant. So noise is suppressed to some extent, but not completely eliminated because of the non-zero gain here. By increasing the order of the filter, it is possible to make this transition go faster and closer to zero, but still the values will be non-zero for a significant portion of the stop band or the desired stop band. So here is an example with a clock image from my lab. Many years ago, we had a lab in which we had this clock on the wall, and we had a video camera that was connected to a digitizing frame buffer, and we had a number of cables with these connectors called BNC connectors. And those connectors are notorious as they introduce a significant amount of noise onto the video signal. Every time you have a connector, the shielding of the cable is broken and ambient electromagnetic noise will get into that. So this image is an actually acquired image, and it has a lot of noise. It's hard to see here with all the light, but perhaps you can see the image better in the book. This is the Fourier spectrum, where you see the vertical and horizontal components related to the horizontal edges and the vertical edges of the image. Now, with the ideal filter, I got this result, but there is a problem here. In my updates, I have added some notes. The ringing artifact you see here, the vertical artifact and the horizontal artifact, is not related to the edges in the image, but due to the fact I padded the original image with zeros. So after filtering, I cut only that portion of the image, but beyond, the image is of size 101 by 101 pixels, 101 pixels by 101 pixels. And to apply the Fourier transform, I padded it to 128 by 128. So we have the image and we have a band of zeros and a band of zeros here. So at the edge of the image, which is here, and beyond that, I have 27 columns that are zeros, and beyond this, there are 27 rows that are zeros. So there is an artificial edge created here because of padding with zeros, and that creates this artifact. But if you observe closely, there could be artifacts seen within the image related to every edge that is present. Let me see. Let me zoom this. It may be a little hard to see that artifact because of the other artifact being quite strong. But anyway, by low-pass filtering, the noise has been removed, but all these characters on the clock face have also been blurred significantly. So it is hard to see this information. There are some of these ringing artifacts parallel to the real edge. So I would say that is a real ringing artifact due to this edge, and that is due to the edge due to zero padding. Anyway, noise has been removed, but the desired components have also been blurred significantly because the cutoff is very small. If I increase the cutoff, then noise is not removed as much, and some of these details may be preserved. This is, on the right-hand side, the effect of Butterworth filtering, where you do not see the ringing artifact to the same extent. There's a little bit there, but the artifact has been reduced. And noise has been reduced to some extent, and some of these numerals may be seen better in the result of the Butterworth filter than the ideal, because the Butterworth filter passes some of the higher frequency components with non-zero gain, so these are a little sharper than in the first case. Okay? So that is low-pass filtering.